Today on Real Life Radio.
My dear friends, tonight, faith in God is not an intellectual issue. It is a moral, personal issue. You should be encouraged, even if you're on the other side of the fence tonight, you should be encouraged over this one reason. This personal God wants to know you personally. That's why it's personal for you. He doesn't want to beat you up. He wants to love you.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called The Evidence for Faith, continues his new series called The Why Series. From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible says is true to the Christian who wants to confirm what they believe, the Why series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to the universal questions we all face in life. The most important question is inside of every single one of us. It's as common as life itself, and we set it in motion from the time we get out of bed till the time we end our day. It's called faith. And by nature, every human being is a faith-based individual. Well, what is faith? The Bible tells us not only what it is, but why we can't please God without it. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that faith is not taking a leap in the dark. In fact, the exact opposite is true. Faith brings us to the ultimate answers when belief moves into trust and trust moves us into action. And now in his message called The Evidence for Faith, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I think that's a good question. This is pretty. I'm an atheist. It's okay. Let's play a game. Out of all the religions in the world, which one would you pick? You know what would be the last one they would pick? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Christianity would be the last one they'd pick. Why? Because it's controversial? Just the mention of his name gets people going. I think that is a very telling question. If they're going to play a game, and they're going to pick a religion, why would they go out of their way to avoid saying Jesus or Christianity? Because it is not an intellectual issue. It's a spiritual issue. That's why faith is important. Almost done. Did you know, listen, somebody will argue, but there's the intellectual assent. That's what we believe in. We are getting stronger, better. The human race is moving onward. I don't believe that, by the way. But if you're going to entertain your evolutionary theory, we're moving upward and onward and going. There's the intellectual assent argument. I understand that. Then there's the trust argument. And I would put it this way. I believe that the intellectual assent is a good thing. But no matter what you intellectually assent to, you're going to, at some point, have to exercise trust and faith. No matter who or no matter what you believe in. But here's the thing. Belief is connected to intellectual assent, okay? It's not enough. Did you know that the Bible says believing in God is not enough? Does that surprise you? The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that there is one God and you do well, but even the demons believe and tremble. Has your belief in God taken you to faith in God? See, you believe in the bank and you believe in Amazon, but how much do those things affect your life? Do you put everything in their hands? Would you give them your identity fully? Would you give them DNA? That's where it's going, you know. You're going to be mailing in at some point in time a DNA sample to these entities that you and I interchange with. It's heading that way. At what point do you cross over? Look, we are out of time. Let's look at one more video and we'll end with this. And by the way, can you guys be ready? I may interrupt the video. Can you put your hand on like the stop button, the pause? This is Mr. Dawkins again, and we'll say goodbye to him in a moment. When did you first realize you
first,
were an atheist?
The realization that there are lots of different religions, and they can't all be right. And the Christian one in which I was brought up was clearly only one of many. But that didn't finally make me into an atheist. What finally made me into an atheist was the realization that there was no scientific reason to believe in any sort of supernatural creature.
Stop. No scientific reason or evidence to believe in God. Now, listen, I agree with them. There are thousands of religions, no doubt about it. Then they all can't be right. In fact, if you're really intellectually honest regarding this argument of religion, only one can be right. Some have elements of right. But God comes along, the God of the Bible, and says, I am. That excludes all others. You know that. So Dawkins is a perfect subject for us to go out with tonight. He was brought up in the Anglican Church in England. The modern Anglican Church of the last couple hundred years has been sad. But let's roll this and listen to his reason.
And that came with the understanding of Darwinian evolution.
Stop! He divorced himself from faith in God because there's no scientific evidence for it. He embraces the Darwinian theory of Charles Darwin. Because it's what, scientific? Are you serious? Darwinianism that has just nearly almost been debunked by modern science? He exchanged his faith. Do you understand? He departed from the truth and went after a falsehood. None of Darwin's argumentations are backed up by actual science today. There are no evolutionary fossils or evidence. There are none. You see variations within species. You see birds based on seasons with bigger beaks and smaller beaks, same bird, but based upon rainfall, seed production from the rainfall, the bird's beak. It's happening right here. It happened this summer in your Chino Hills. The birds have thicker beaks because there's more seed to eat because we had bigger rains. It's not evolution. It's variation within the species. Nowhere in the history of archaeological or research of any types is there a departure from one species into the next. There's no evidence that there are lizards that had feathers that eventually climbed the tree, don't laugh, and jumped out of the tree and flew. You can prove the existence of God and not of evolution just by studying the head of a woodpecker. I forget how many times that the tongue of a woodpecker is wrapped around the brain, but if it was wrapped around the brain something like 7 times and the woodpecker hits the wood, it would have destroyed its brain. Did you know that? If it would have been wrapped around 9 times, the skull's not big enough to handle. You know, by the way, the woodpecker, the tongue for the woodpecker wraps around its brain. And when the woodpecker goes to hit, the brain is cushioned by the tongue that wraps around inside the skull of the woodpecker. And one, it'll kill it. One too many, it doesn't fit in the head. But 8 times, I think it's 8, don't quote me on the number 8, but it's something like 8 wraps around the head makes it perfect. When did evolution say, that's it, right there, we'll do 8? You would have dead woodpeckers everywhere. They wouldn't have made it. Next slide, video.
Not in the sense of faith as meaning belief in something for which there is no evidence. There are various senses of faith in which we do, scientists do participate. Those branches of science which I don't understand, for example, physics, it could be said, I suppose, that I have faith that physicists understand it better than I do.
Stop!
So when I...
Did you hear what he said? Did you hear that? He's a biologist. I don't understand physics. I trust in physicists to understand physics. That's faith! Based on evidence. Just like us. Okay.
I say something that physicists tell me, such as that there was nothing before the Big Bang. You're not allowed to talk about the word before in the context of the Big Bang. I sort of have faith that physicists understand enough to be allowed to say that, even though I don't understand why they're allowed to say that.
That's great faith.
It's not blind faith. It's not faith in the absence of evidence. It's faith that's based upon confidence in the scientific method, in the scientific peer review process, the fact that I know that there are other physicists who can test, verify, criticize the views of any one physicist. So it's not the same as religious faith, which is based upon no evidence at all.
Okay.
It's certainly true that so many people do have religious faith, not just individual people, not all individual people do, but all cultures. I think I'm right in saying that all peoples, in the plural, have had faith, religious faith of some kind. They believe in some kind of supernatural gods or goddesses or leprechauns or whatever it might be. Why do they have it? Well, I think it's very tempting when you don't really understand what's going on, when you're ignorant of the world, when you find yourself surrounded by a wonderful world, a puzzling world, a mysterious world, a frightening world. It must be quite tempting to put your faith into a supernatural being of some kind.
That's one of the leading atheists in the world. And we end with this. He thinks for many, not all, but for many in the world today. If there's a possibility that physicists can know physics better than he can, and he trusts in their conclusions, in the realm of just logic and reason and argumentation, doesn't that open the door for Richard Dawkins to also entertain the possibility? Like Dr. Stephen Gould of NASA, who said, and he was almost destroyed for this, director of the Goddard Space Center, he said, you know, after all of our study and all of our research and scientific discovery, we have scaled the mountain of intellect. And I think that as we begin to pull ourselves up over the edge and get to the top, we just very well may discover that there have been a band of theologians sitting there all along. And for that, he was nearly destroyed in his career. My dear friends, tonight, faith in God is not an intellectual issue. It is a moral, personal issue. You should be encouraged, even if you're on the other side of the fence tonight, you should be encouraged over this one reason. This personal God wants to know you personally. That's why it's personal for you. He doesn't want to beat you up. He wants to love you. And he loves you in the person of Jesus Christ. It's not religion. You don't need that. You need him. And I know the time is late. How about one question, just to be true, so I can go to sleep tonight, that I was honest. One question, just wherever you are, put your hand up. Yep, right there. Yeah, got it. Great question. I'll paraphrase it with your permission, okay? Who's Jesus? Earlier, I mentioned that Jesus is the Son of God. I mentioned that Jesus is God. In fact, to make your point more, we sang a song tonight, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Remember that? I don't know if you were here or not. So it's an awesome question. Who's Jesus? Who's Jesus? Number one, if we miss everything else, if the lights go out tonight, remember this. Read the book of John. Start tonight. Read John. Start tonight. Here's the answer. Who's Jesus? The Bible tells us that God, Elohim, God reveals himself as the Elohim. Eloi is God. Him, I am, in Hebrew is plural. The Elohim says to Israel, the Lord your God is one God. So wait a minute. What is it? He's asking the great question. Which one is it? Yes. Yes, because listen, we have to be careful that we don't think of God as a big human. Because we are localized. We can only be in one spot at one time. But you can think of yourself this way. You are a body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says that you've been created a trichotomy. You've been created in the image of God. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation says that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible reveals each of them have a voice. each of them have a statement. Each of them have an existence. The Bible teaches us that those three personalities make up what is called in Colossians chapter 1, the Godhead. They're not separated from the Godhead as there's one God here and one God there and one God the other. They combined personality is God. When Jesus, listen, Hebrews chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1 will tell you that when God created all that there is, that he did it through Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute, this is getting crazier by the moment. I understand the apparent craziness of it, but maybe you'll get it this way. If tonight there's three of you that live at 123 Apple Lane, there's Mama Bear, there's Papa Bear, and there's Baby Bear. There's Mama, Papa, and Baby. They all have three different first names. They all have three exact last names. They each have a personality. They each have input. They each exist, but they are the Bear family. Are you with me? They have one last name. They live at a specific address. It's 123 Apple Way or Apple Lane, okay? These are three under one roof. The address is God. The representation or the manifestation, when you read your Bible, you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to the disciples not to go to Asia. Do you remember that in the Bible? Paul says, I tried to go into Europe and the Holy Spirit resisted us. Ananias and Sapphira lied against the Holy Spirit. Peter said, why is it that you've lied to the Spirit? You did not just lie to the Spirit. He says, you're going to die now because you've lied to God. The Bible says that the people of Israel angered the Holy Spirit and he became their enemy. Jesus, when he prayed to God the Father. So what are we talking? I love his perfect question for tonight. Who's this Jesus who in his flesh, he's no doubt greater than us, but he's bleeding, he's crying, he's wounded, he's being beaten, he's doing miracles. Is he like a superhuman? And this is the great thing about John's gospel. John's gospel tells us that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became human flesh and lived among us. This is the one who, imperfect, your Father, your Creator, your God, your Savior, your Lord, your Redeemer. You are the only thing in the entire universe that ever was, is, and will be that has been created in his image. You have the moral likeness of God. You're the only one that knows right from wrong. You can create. You can write a poem. You can love. You can hate. You can express. You can dream. You can ponder. The question tonight is, do you have faith in him? You gotta have faith in him. I mean, you don't gotta, he's a person. Listen, he's a reason why you're a person is because he's a person, personality. You're not the first personality, he is. He made us. And because he's a personality, he wants to relate to you in familiar ways. You and I don't talk to donkeys, we don't talk to giraffes. I'm not being funny. You don't talk to, I mean, we do talk to our pets, but you know, your dog never says, you know what, I know exactly how your day is going. Isn't it amazing? You read your Bible and God tells you in the Bible, I know exactly how your day is going. Have you ever read your Bible? And you pick it up and it's like, man, this day stunk. I should never got out of bed. And then you get ready for bed and you read your scripture reading for the night and you just go, oh my gosh, why didn't I read this morning? He's speaking to you. He's answering you. So remember, God is the uncaused cause. He's the uncreated creator. He is eternal, he says of himself, and that he is spirit, and that he dwells, he says, in unapproachable light. But he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that is, he sent him to earth, that whosoever would trust in him, believe in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. You're not a highly evolved animal. You are God's greatest crowning creation. And I'll leave you with this thought. If you think of an insect, how bad can an insect be? How good can an insect be? Moving on, if you have a cow, how bad can a cow be? Well, how good can a cow be? If you have a dog, how bad can a dog be? How good can a dog be? If you have an angel, for example, how good can an angel be? How bad can an angel be? If you're a human created in the image of God, how bad can a human be? Are you hearing me?
Yes.
How good can a human be? The fact that you have the greatest pendulum swing in all of those areas answers exactly what the Bible says of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That none of us have done good, no, not one. But that all those who put their faith in him, in what he's done for us at the cross, God says, I will change you from the inside out. I will create in you a new creation, a new person. And I encourage all of you to make that decision. Don't be afraid. Go home tonight. I'm dead serious. Go home tonight and say, God, if that was real, will you let me know? And then you let me know on Sunday or next Wednesday, okay? You just come up and you say, I did what you did, and God blew my mind. I love it. We don't have to defend him. A lot of people running around the world trying to defend their God. If you have to defend your God, you got the wrong one. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for our brother's awesome question. Lord, we pray that you would continue on these Wednesday nights to just minister to our hearts and souls. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Evidence for Faith. Thanks for being with us today. The Evidence for Faith is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Why Series. It's a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life. And together, we'll discover the answers found in the Bible, which of course is our amazing roadmap towards meaning and purpose. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Do you feel the growing tide of hostility in this world? It's almost unavoidable. The frustration, the outrage, and the victim mentality that takes over respect and reason. But how do we share our faith in a society that's godless? And how do we stay rooted in biblical truth in such an angry world? And how do we continue to publicly testify for Jesus? Our book of the month for August is called We Will Not Be Silenced, written by Erwin Lutzer. It prepares us to live out our faith by gaining a better understanding of legitimate hurts like racism, sexism, and poverty. When our culture gives us a toxic response and disguises it as a solution, We Will Not Be Silenced shows us how to respond to those outside the faith with compassion and gentleness without affirming their beliefs. So, are you ready to move beyond fear and boldly represent Christ? Our world is watching what we do, and the world needs Jesus right now more than ever. We Will Not Be Silenced by Erwin Lutzer is a must-read for strength and encouragement, and it's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.